Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about going through problems and how, as we go through problems, to rejoice. To find in every circumstance of life a way to rejoice. Apostle Paul learned how to do that. Apostle Paul learned how to live in such a way that he rejoiced and he lived for God. And in doing that, he caused others to live for God and others to do what God wanted them to do. Last week, I gave you two things that will help you to rejoice through problems. Let me just review them for a moment. The first one was, look for God's hand in every problem. Look for God's hand in every problem you go through. So no matter what you are going through, if you are a Christian, God's hand is involved. God's hand is there at work in your life. And God is seeking through every problem you have to do something great. The tendency, and I'll talk more about this in a minute, is that as we go through problems, instead of looking at anything else, we begin looking at ourselves. You know, we begin to cry, we begin to sing that old me song, and we begin to, you know, think about how bad we have it, and that's the worst thing we can do. What God wants to do is God wants to begin looking for what God's going to do. And then it is amazing that as we watch God's hand, that God does some amazing things. I watched a football game yesterday, and they ran this replay over and over and over. The one guy went, the quarterback went, and he threw a pass. It hit one of the defenders, and it went through five different guys before the final guy caught the ball and ran for a touchdown. I mean, that is just absolutely unusual for that kind of thing to happen. And you would just, I've never seen it in football. I've been watching all my life. God is at work in your life. And if you watch for Him, if you watch for His hand, you will see God do amazing things in your life. You have to be watching for His hand and watching what God is doing. Second thing I said last week was expect positive opportunities from your problems. No matter what you are going through, God can do great things and God can do positive things. And as you're going through problems, you got to sit back and say, all right, God's going to do something great in my life here. God's going to use my life. God's going to use this circumstance, and He's going to do something positive and something great. The problem we run into is when we find ourselves at a place in life and we give up hope. You know, we begin looking at ourselves and we find ourselves in a circumstance and we give up hope. And we say to ourselves, that's it. It's all over. Nothing good can come of this. I want you to know that God can do some really positive things. In our passage last week, Paul mentioned four things that God can do. And the last one that I mentioned was that God was at work in his life helping him to trust God. You know, if you cannot find anything other in your life as you're going through problems, realize this. God's at work in your life through problems to help you to trust him. And if you learn to trust God, you'll see God do even greater things. Yeah, I remember Jerry Falwell saying this years ago. If you learn to trust God for a dollar, then you learn to trust God for $2. And when you begin to learn to trust God for $2, you'll learn to trust God for $3. Paul said, look, God's done some great things here. And God will do some great things as you go through problems. And one of them is to learn to trust God and to watch your faith grow. You know, if you watch someone in your life and you see them doing great things or trusting God for great things, that didn't happen overnight. God was at work in their life, and over the years, they've learned to trust God for greater and greater and even greater things. And God will do that in your life if you learn to trust Him and expect great things to happen. I want to give you two more things this morning. Number one, embrace the right focus. If you want to learn to rejoice through problems, you have to embrace the right focus. What is that focus? Well, let's look at verse 20 of chapter 1. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. If you're going to embrace the right focus, I think you first have to understand the wrong focus. The wrong focus when you're going through problems, as I've already mentioned, is to focus on yourself. You know, you begin to go through things like maybe a financial crisis, and what do you begin to do? You begin to say, oh no, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose everything I have. What am I going to do? And you begin to focus on yourself. That is the absolute wrong thing to do. When our self, when myself becomes the major concern, my safety, where I'm going to live, what's going to happen in my life, when that becomes my major concern, I begin a downward spiral into making my problems even worse than what they really are. Whenever we put our attention on ourselves, you know, our sole focus becomes saving me. How am I going to take care of me? Our joy becomes a matter of what we have or what we don't have. Our joy gets all stuck in all the wrong things that are going on in our life. And we begin that downward spiral into making our problems even worse. The right focus is the focus on God. And that's what verse 21 is all about. It's all about his focus on God. Now, let me again set the circumstances. Paul is in a rented home. He is basically in jail. He is under guard. He is handcuffed to a Roman soldier. There are Roman soldiers all around him, guarding him, keeping him from going anywhere. In that circumstance, Paul is writing to the Philippians, and in this part of Philippians, he's talking about rejoicing in the middle of all of his problems. And what he's saying here is that we need to embrace the right focus. Notice, he says, I eagerly expect. This word is a word that means to stretch out your neck. I think there was a movie a while back where this guy could stretch, and he was able to, you know, stretch his arms, stretch his neck, do all kinds of things. That's the word here. It means to stretch out your neck and to look at what is ahead and to kind of not focus on everything that's around you and kind of focus on what is your neck is being stretched out to see. He says, I eagerly expect and hope, a word often used in the New Testament, to refer not to something that you just desire, but something that you expect to happen. He says, I eagerly expect and hope. I want you to notice two things that Paul desired. First of all, in verse 20, that I will in no way be ashamed. He says, the first thing that I am focusing on is in my relationship with God as I'm going through my problems is that I'm not going to be ashamed. The word ashamed means to dishonor, to disgrace. His concern was that he would disgrace Christ by his actions. And you'll see that as we go along. He did not want to hurt his testimony with everybody that was around him. That has to be our concern. You know, if you're going through problems, whether they're maybe physical, maybe you get the swine flu or something like that, or they are financial, you're going through difficulties with the financial mess our country's in, whatever the problem is, the real concern we all ought to have is, how will I, by my words, by my actions, by my attitudes, affect what people think about God? And will I, by my actions, be ashamed of what I do in my relationship with God? Anyone can be joyous when they're going through good times. Paul wanted to be joyous as he went through bad times. And the thing that he was concerned about was his actions and how it affected the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I think about that when we play softball. You know, people are standing around. You know, what do they walk away with in our testimony as it relates to Christ? Does our actions and our attitudes and our words, do they uplift our relationship with God, or do they tear it down? You know, sometimes I jokingly say to my son, when he does something, you know, that isn't what a perfect son would do, and my son does that once in a while. And when he finds himself in those situations, I'll say to him, did you mention that you're a seeker? You didn't tell anyone that you're a seeker, did you? Paul's saying, look, by my actions, I don't want to hurt the name of Christ. He was more concerned about what in jail would happen to the name of Jesus by how he reacted to his problems. That's when people are watching. I want you to know, when you are witnessing to your friends and you are witnessing to your family and you are telling others about Jesus and you are saying to them, you need to come to Christ because, you know, it's great being a Christian, and then they watch you go through problems. They sit back and they say, all right, where's your God now? How's God helping you through this? Second thing Paul said here was kind of the opposite of what he just said. He says that I eagerly expect and hope that I will no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So he says, look, I don't want Christ to be ashamed, but on the other hand, I want him to be exalted. You're good, Rich. I don't want him to be ashamed. I want him to be exalted. I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. The word courage here is a word that has the idea of being able to speak freely. So I think what Paul is talking about here is that when he finally stood before Caesar, and that's what he's getting ready to do, when he finally stands before Caesar, will he have courage to testify for Jesus Christ? Paul says he wants to exalt Christ. He wants to magnify, bring him praise, bring him glory. Notice whether he lived or died. He says, look, if I live, even if I die, I don't want to shame God by my actions, and I want to exalt him by my actions. I think sometimes we see people say, all right, God, you let my child die? I'm going to hate you the rest of my life. God, you took away my job? I don't think you really love me. God, my family got messed up. If you really love me, why'd you allow this in my life? And I think sometimes people sit back and say, all right, God, I don't care about you anymore because you allowed this in my life. Paul says, look, even if I die, I want to exalt Christ. His concern wasn't whether he lived or died. Not that he wanted to die. But his concern was that his actions would uplift and elevate the name of Jesus Christ so that in the midst of his problems, Christ would gain the glory. See, his focus wasn't on me. It was on him. Where's your focus when you're going through problems? Where's your focus when difficulties come in your life? Where's your focus when everything seems to be falling all apart? Is your focus on him? Or is it on you? Where's your outlook? The thing that really concerned Paul was that he would be able to freely witness and that in his actions he would no way shame the name of Christ. Let me give you a second thing. If you want to rejoice through problems, possess the right attitudes. Possess the right attitudes. I want to give you two attitudes that helped Paul as he went through problems. Here's the first one. Either way, I win. Either way, I win. Verse 21 and 22. Follow along with me. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. What shall I choose? I don't know. Either way, I win. Notice, if I live, I get to serve Christ. For him, living meant serving Jesus. The main focus of his life was Christ. He wanted to serve Christ. He wanted to elevate the name of Christ. He wanted to live for Jesus. That was his focus. Yeah, I think so often our focus gets all messed up. You know, what's on TV next? What am I doing here? What am I doing there? Paul not only had the right focus, he had the right attitude. For Paul, the only thing living meant was serving. You know, really, what could be better than that? What can really be better than doing something for God? What is better than leading someone to Christ and changing their eternal destiny? What is better than investing your life in someone else and seeing their entire life change? What is better than serving Christ and doing something in Jesus' name? If for you living means wealth, if for you living means fame, if for you living means something you can get in this life other than God, I want you to know, if you lose it, what are you going to do? I want you to know, the most important thing in my life is God. Second most important thing in my life is my wife. My kids come after that. And then after that comes pastoring this church. But first is God. And you know what? We could put all those things and get them all messed up. You know, you could put your family before God and get your life all messed up. Job said, God gave and God take it away. May God's name be praised. Job had lost his entire fortune. Job had lost his job and all that went with it. And Job had lost all his children. And he said, may God's name be praised. Paul said, look, the thing that matters to me is that if I live, I get to serve God. If I die, I go to be with God. This is even better, he said. He said, this is even gain. The word gain here means to profit. It's used in a financial way of, you know, of making money, but it's used in other ways of any kind of benefit or advantage you can get. He says, I love living because I get to serve God, but if I die, then I'm going to be in his presence. And that's even better. Now, the word that Paul uses here for dying, it doesn't mean dying itself. He's not saying, you know, if I go out and die in a car accident, boy, it's going to be great dying in that accident. It's a word that speaks of the not the process of dying, but death itself. If I live, I get to serve Christ. If I'm dead, I'm with Christ. That's better. Yeah, you know, I've gone in for a number of surgeries. In fact, for a while there, I think I was having a surgery just about every other year. And I would go in for the surgery, and the nurses come and say, do you want something to read or do something, you know, to help you with your nerves? I'm fine. You know, what could happen? I mean, if you die, you're in God's presence. That'd be great. If you live, even if things don't go well. God's hand is at work in your life, and he's going to find some way for you to be used by him. I think of Joni Erickson, who has no physical abilities whatsoever, and she served God in a tremendous way. Either way, I win. No matter what happens in your life, you have to believe that either way, you win. Because if you are living for God, if you are seeking to serve God, no matter what happens in your life, God will find a way to use you. And if it's death, what's better than that? You're in God's presence. But be careful. Some Christians have given up on life and all they really want to do is die. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about being a quitter and going in the corner and crying and saying, I just want to go be with Jesus. Let me give you a second attitude. The needs of others come before my own desires. The needs of others come before my own desires. Yeah, I know, this is a tough one. Verse 23. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Paul says, look, if I had the choice, I want to leave this world. I want to go be with God. That's my desire. My choice is to go be with God. The word torn means to be pressed. Talks about a ship going into a narrow channel and kind of being pressed on every side. It says, I'm torn. There's a pressure. My real desire is to be in heaven with God. My longing is to bring up the anchor and go. And that's that word, depart. Jesus also of a ship, of picking up the anchor and leaving port. My desire is to go be with Christ. But notice verse 24. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Even though I want to go be with God, really your need is for me to stay. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and for your faith. And joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. You know, Paul had no decision on whether he would live or die. I mean, yeah, you could say, well, he could kill himself, but that wasn't part of Paul's thinking. He was absolutely convinced that God wanted him to live because he believed that God wanted him working in the Philippian church, and it was necessary to meet their needs that Paul stuck around. So this battle that's going on in his heart and his mind is, I really want to go be with God. But I know you have needs. So even though my desire is to be with God, I know you have needs, and I am willingly going to give up my desire to meet your needs. See, that's how you rejoice going through problems. You don't focus on yourself. You're focused on God. And your attitude is, hey, forget about me. What can I do to help you? Forget about what I'm going through. How can I help you? How can I help your life? How can I help you with the things that are going on in your life? You know, when I come into church, am I only thinking about all my problems, or am I looking to see what other problems I can help people with? You focus on yourself. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, his focus was on eternity, not on the temporary. You know, the most anyone, anything can happen in his life is that you die and you go be with God. But if you live, you get to serve him. You know, it's easy to quit. When you go through troubles, it's easy to quit and give up. And there have been many times in my life that I've wanted to quit and give up. And I've said to myself, I've had enough. I don't want any more. I don't need any more on top of this. And I just keep getting more things on top. And the thing that helps me keep going is not my own desires. It's the needs of other people. And what can I do to help others with what they're going through and what they're dealing with life? And when you can maintain that focus and you can have the attitude that no matter what happens in your life, you're still going to win. And that the needs of others are more important than your own desires. I'm telling you what, it's hard to lose. There may be times when you're on the roller coaster that you go down the hill, but when you have that kind of attitude and that kind of focus, you begin going back up and get back on the mountain again. But if all you do is think about, boom, you can't win. Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you may be here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to give you that opportunity right now. Realize that without Him, you don't have any hope. Christ is our hope. And this morning, He can become yours. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, right now, admit to yourself that your destiny is hell. But Jesus loved you. God loved you so much. He sent Christ to die on the cross for your sin. He was nailed to that cross. He was buried. He was stuck in a tomb that through Him you could have life. Right now, just tell God, admit to Him your sinfulness. Ask Him to save you. Tell Him you'll begin to live for Him and serve Him. Do what Paul said he lived for. If you are here this morning and you're struggling through problems, I don't know what they are, just lay your heart out before God. I want you to know, if you're a Christian, either way, you will win if you put Him first, if you trust Him. You'll see God do amazing things. Get yourself out of the picture and put others before you. Focus on Him. Father God, this world is so full of sin and so many things can happen in it, and we just need your help. Father, we need your strength every day and every moment of the day, and Father, I need your help. Help me, Lord, to maintain the right attitude. Help my focus to stay on you. Help me not to get all caught up in the storms of life. And I pray, Lord, for each person here this morning as they deal with their problems. I pray, Lord, that you would give them strength and you would help them to rejoice. Father God, we so need you. Work in each life here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you may gain the praise. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name, His precious and holy name. Amen.